Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
305 DGS and KMOX. Happy Monday to you. Let's talk some sports. So they're saying the most exciting weekend of football ever?
I can't think of a better one. Especially with meaning, right? I mean, the regular season, you don't always have four games of the, I mean, you never have a game of playoff magnitude, right? I mean, you might have games where a team is going to make themselves a playoff team or fail to make the playoffs in a given weekend, like on a week, the last week of the season. But I mean, this is win or go home. This is, you know, advance to the Final Four or not. And you got three games decided by a field goal as zeros were on the clock at the end of the fourth quarter and then overtime last night. And I've never seen anything like what we saw last night with the Chiefs and the Bills. I mean, the 25 points between the two teams in the last 2 minutes. I mean, 25 points in 2 minutes is insane. And each time something happened, you're like, well, there's the game, right? I mean, Buffalo goes ahead and you're like, oh, well, there's enough time. Patrick Mahomes can drive them. And he does. So they go down and they take the lead. I'm like, well, that's probably the game. 49 seconds later, Buffalo scores. And you're like, oh, there's only 13 seconds left. Well, that was a good run for the Chiefs. Good, congratulations to Buffalo. Two plays later, they're kicking the game-tying field goal. They win the coin flip, and then they win the game in overtime. It's nonsense. Just total craziness.
So I played football enough to, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because I think this every time that this happens. If you can score 25 points in the last 8 minutes or so, why not play like that throughout the game? Why not run and gun all the time?
I think it's risk reward, right? At the end of the game, there's very little downside, because if you don't do it, you lose. Whereas if you play that way all game, you'll probably turn the ball over, you'll take more risks, and you know, you're also, like last night, what we saw too at the end, we saw two defenses that were exhausted. Like, they had nothing left at all, neither side. You know, the Chiefs had lost a couple of guys to injuries during the game, their secondary was decimated. Buffalo's got a good defense. That's the crazy part. It was one of the best defenses, if not the best defense in the league. But late in the game like that, when you have these offenses just going back and forth, they all looked out of gas. And the thing is, they had to be, because they had to play that high level of defense the entire game to avoid the other team blowing them out.
Yes.
So every drive is critical. Every point, every play, you have to play full speed. There's no like, well, they probably won't have a big run in them later. I can cool it right here. I don't have to go all out. You got to go all out against Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, or they're going to beat you.
So who plays who next?
So now it's going to be the Chiefs and the Bengals on the AFC side of things. The Chiefs are 7-point favorite.
What the hell's happened to the Bengals?
You know, they got a quarterback. It's funny how that works, right? They got a guy number one overall, Joe Burrow, when he was coming out of LSU, and he's been the difference. You know, he got hurt last year, so we don't know. They might have made a run like this last year in his rookie year, but he blew out his knee. You know, I think it was like week 9, I think, when it happened. So he missed the rest of the year, but he was healthy this season, and that's it. I mean, he's the difference. And don't get me wrong, they have other changes, right? They just drafted a guy in the first round at wide receiver, Jamar Chase, who's amazing. But those two played at LSU together. So they had an instant bond when they got them together, and they've been one of the best duos all year. But Burrow's good no matter who he's throwing to. So they got the quarterback. That's the difference.
So Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers could be done.
Could be.
You think either are done?
If I had to bet, I'd say no. If I had to bet on it, I'd say neither. You know, but I'd say Brady more likely than Rodgers for sure. I mean, Rodgers, if he wants it, he probably has 5 more years. Easy. And we're talking 5 years at like $40 million
a
year.
Has he talked about not playing?
Well, I mean, he did last offseason, right? I mean, he auditioned to host Jeopardy. You know, I mean, he's like, he has looked at other things, and he would probably have other jobs if he wanted them, right? I mean, he could do a podcast and it would make a buttload of money. He could go work, you know, I mean, he'd probably get something with Joe Rogan, who's his buddy. And I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm sure he could. He could, you know, he's already on, he's on the Pat McAfee show every single week. And that's a really successful, you know, syndicated show, both on TV and on radio, on satellite radio. So, I mean, he could do anything he wanted. I don't know that there's anything you can do, though, that's $40 million a year and brings with it the intensity, the excitement, the fun of continuing
and
to play the game.
Something that not only are you proficient at, but you're one of the best ever.
Oh, yeah.
He's
yeah.
one of the worst ever podcasters.
He's not a great talker.
Like, you have a name, so you could make money, but you're yeah. awful at this.
Yeah, he's not a great talker.
It's like if I did Dancing with the Stars, you know, like, oh, I'm getting paid because I'm famous in this way, but right. I'm terrible at this. I don't like that yeah. guy.
I mean, there's a lot of things he could do, but every guy that's played sports at that level will tell you there's nothing that compares.
Yeah.
There's just nothing. You can't get the rush. You can't get, it's a lot of work though. I mean, at some point the body does tell you, all right, we got to stop with this. But I would say he's probably going to be back, but probably not in Green Bay.
So baseball talks?
How about that? They actually talked today. So the way this has been ridiculous. Like, so we went, I think it was 43 days between official conversations between the two from the day the lockout started until the first conversation, which was like a week and a half
ago. Obviously everyone's talking about the yep. lack of talk. What are people saying?
So the question is, how much are each side willing to push the other, right? I mean, the players want they want to get some stuff back. I mean, let's be honest, the last two labor talks, they lost. They got beat. They didn't think so at the time, but then after the fact, they were like, oh, crap, we got beat pretty badly in this. And the last time, you know, they were asking for weird things. Like, they wanted an extra empty seat next to them on bus trips in spring training, and they wanted the teams to provide chefs in the clubhouse. And so, like all these ancillary things that are really yeah. nice if you're an established major leaguer, but they're not financial wins. They're not, you know, it's not improving the yeah. status of everybody. Now they want to try to get some of what they've lost back. And, you know, owners are like, we're not giving that back. I mean, you know, not only have we won it, but, you know, we've exploited it here for the last 5 or 6 years. So it's going to come down to, on the player side, them figuring out a way that they can get more money to the younger players because they're under team control. I mean, you know how this works, right? You spend 2 to 4 years in the minor leagues and then 6 years before you can be a free agent in the major leagues. I mean, they basically control you for a decade. So they're trying to find a way to get people paid more money during that time, which I think they'll accomplish. They do want free agency earlier. They do want arbitration to come a year earlier. So that way it's not just 3 years, it's 2 years, which, you know, I don't know if you followed all the dorkiness of this, but like teams will hold back young players and not bring them to the major leagues because they don't want to start the arbitration process too early. And everybody's like, well, that's terrible for the sport. Nobody does that in football or basketball or hockey. If you're the best player, you're going to be up there. You're going to be playing. I mean, if you're the star quarterback, they're not going to hold you back because some contract rule says, well, we might get an extra year of you if we wait. So the players are fighting to get more financial concessions from the owners. The owners want that to stay the same. And what the owners want out of this deal is an expanded playoff. So they get more teams, more games, more money out of the playoffs moving forward. And I'm sure they would like to get back other things, but they don't need to get anything else back.
Yeah.
They're in a good spot.
Will any of these negotiations help out minor league players? I mean, we've just talked in the past about how,
oh my God,
like how little they're paid and the meals they get and stuff. Is that involved at all in the negotiations going on now?
No, because they're not union members.
Okay.
And you know, it's an odd thing because every one of these guys,
they need to unionize.
Yeah. Well, they've tried. I mean, there are some people that are working on that, but it's obviously a difficult process. Because, you know, they end up moving up and it's, you know, you don't get a whole lot of stability there. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of turnover amongst the ranks, so it kind of makes it difficult to figure out. But number one, you would think that the Players Association would have some empathy because they all went through it. But that's also their competition. They don't want to make anything better or easier for the people that might come and take their job. Mm-hmm. So they don't even talk mm-hmm. about it. It's not a thing. I'm sure they sympathize. I'm sure they want them to get more, but that's not part of their deal. Plus, if they did ask for those guys, the owners are going to want something back in return. So right. you'd have to concede something of yours to help them.
For people who you don't care about.
Right, for people that might want to take your job. And what they've done, though, they've made some changes the last year or so. So those things are going to get better. Like teams have now, Major League Baseball said they're now going to cover their living expenses, like their room and board, well, room at least, like they're going to put them up in some place in each of the minor league cities, which you'd think would be the bare minimum. I mean, imagine this. The way it's been for years is those players have to get, they get assigned to a city. They don't know where they're going to be assigned a lot of times till the end of spring training. They have to report immediately, find a place to live, figure out how to pay for it. Usually that's with 4 to 6 guys living in the same place together. And then you have to sign a lease, and you could get promoted in 2 weeks and then have to break the lease and get out and go on or turn it over to somebody else. Like, it's just nonstop chaos. So with the league and the teams taking that over, at least now it's just a simpler thing that they don't have to worry about. And by, I mean, we all know that's the biggest part of what we spend our money on, right? I mean, if you're paying rent, that's the biggest expense you have. So they're it's getting better, and they are paying them a little bit more, and they're taking care of their food a little bit better, but it's nowhere near what it needs to be. It should be considered a full-time job, and it's considered seasonal work. You know, you have to work year-round, but you're only going to get paid. They don't get paid in spring training.
Okay, so if I'm a double-A player and I'm really a prospect, they think this guy could really make it to the big leagues. They're okay with me working at Smoothie King when I'm off-season?
Like, well, no, you need to train all off-season, but you got to do it on your own dime. That's the ridiculous nature of it, right? Yeah. We're trying to train elite athletes, some of the best in the world, and you're basically saying for 6 months out of the year, you're on your own and you're not getting paid anything. How does that make any sense?
It just doesn't even seem like it would benefit the sport. I mean, I wonder how many players really had the potential, but they didn't have the ecosystem around them to succeed, so they ended up not doing anything.
Yeah, a lot of these guys are coming. Think about it, too. A lot of these players are coming out of either foreign countries as teenagers, where they don't speak the language or they're learning it on the fly, but they're coming in from Venezuela, Cuba, Dominican Republic, and all that. Or they're coming straight out of high school in the States. They don't have other resources. Now, some people, some of them get big signing bonuses, right? Some of them are getting $2-4 million. Some of the guys in the main draft, first round of the draft, they'll get $6-7 million bonuses. It's a tiny percentage of the players. It's like 2% of all of those players. So most of them that are doing this are doing it with no financial backing. Their parents and their families end up covering a lot of the costs, or their spouses end up covering a lot of the costs, which is just, I mean, you think about, wouldn't you make your product better by putting more into product development, right? I mean, it's just a business fundamental thing. Yeah. They all know it, but the competition is so great amongst those players that they do all the stuff they need to do anyway.
Is there, so when I went to law school, our building at WashU was embarrassing. It was, it had won a bunch of 1970s awards for like innovation because it was built out of concrete. It was concrete floors, concrete walls. Everything was concrete. It was stupid. It was embarrassing. It was horrible. And then they built this Hogwarts after I left and it looks like WashU now. But there's like a certain pride for those of us who went to the mud building, is literally called the mud building.
Yeah.
Is it sort of like that? Like, oh, the good old day. You know what I mean? Like, this is what makes you a man. Is
oh, there's definitely
like some. This.
There's definitely been a part of it like that. It's like the difficulty of the experience toughens you up, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Gotcha. Idiots. Oh, get old. 322 DGS. Kevin Wheeler is brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Rach, talk to me about dorking out.
Oh, man. So I loved the show Cheer when it first came out on Netflix. It was right before the pandemic. I remember watching it and I loved it so much. And I would watch it and think, why can't I be as fit as those girls? And then I would realize, well, they're teenagers who work out all day cheerleading. So probably makes sense that you're not, your body doesn't look exactly like that. But it's back. It's back for season two. And I started watching it last night and all those old emotions came flooding back to where I feel like I should be cheerleading on the Navarro cheer squad. Never mind the fact that I can't do a cartwheel and that I have no experience. I'm like in my living room clapping like, yes, I want to know what your guys' dork out like. Kevin, are you ever
watching? Gotta edit my list.
What are you watching? Just go like, they should put me in because I would kill this. Or you're kind of like acting along with it in your living room.
I mean, it's pretty much all of the like Bigfoot shows and the alien shows. But if I were going to be like more in the stuff that I would interact with, it's almost always the animal shows. Like when they're out, when you're out doing like the wildlife guys that are out doing like, oh, I could do that. I would so love to do that. I'd like to be out there. And
you'd be like a Steve Irwin type.
Yeah. That kind of guy. I mean, that would be, that's what I, that when I think there, I'm always thinking, what would I do instead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought you meant you'd be like crawling around like a wolf on the floor.
Yeah, well, that too. I mean, yeah. That's how you get to them, right? You got to act like they do, and then they're like, oh, hey, that's one of us.
My version of this is so much more humiliating than either of yours. And I've talked about this before. I remember one time driving down the road, I think it was with Nick, and there was like a 12-year-old football practice going on. And I said, not trying to be funny, I'm like, I would kill it out there. Like, I would. And then when I
would wipe the floor with those tweens.
I go to watch Phoebe's.
Three times all their size.
High school girl lacrosse. I've never thrown a lacrosse thing in my life. And I'm like, I'd score every time. And I take great pride. And here's the thing. I probably wouldn't. Like, at 22, I would have. But if my fat ass got out there now and I'm playing with these fit girls, I would probably not. Fair, great.
Yeah.
Unless I cheated, knocked them all down, and got thrown out. But yeah, that's more my speed, is where I see people who are actually, like you,
yeah,
very competent at something. And then I just use the emotional caulking to fill in my gaps and go, I could have done
that. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm looking online to see if I can apply it to this college. Doesn't matter that I'm 30 and I can't tumble. Like, I want to be on a Navarro cheer squad. It's going to happen for me.
So, the way you guys are describing it, I left out because it's my profession. But it's what all of us do in sports. You're always playing along at home with the manager or with the head coach, and you're thinking, what plays would I call? What signs would I put on? I mean, like, that is the ultimate. But I thought that was cheating if I answered that way.
I do that, too, politically. I do not consider myself a politically savvy person. But as I watch all this going on, and you watch the people who have the president's ear with Trump and now with Biden, I feel like I would have been a good person to have in the room. Maybe not the person in the room. Like, we've talked about this, Rage. Like, whenever you see a bad movie, you're like, how is there not one person? Or like the Rudy Giuliani 9/11 t-shirts. How is there not one person who stepped up and said, I'm not sure this is the greatest thing to do? I think that would be a great role for me to fill.
Well, you have, first of all, you have the personality to actually speak up, right? Because you're not, you're like me in that sense. If I were in that room, if you have me in your room, I'm going to speak. And if you don't want me there, then you have to fire me, right? Like, that's not, like, that's the personality that it would take. But I do think that you would be good at it. I think a lot of people that have that assertive personality would be good at it, because those guys need to, they don't live in the real world. They don't, because they can't. Like, once you're at a certain level, you can't just be like, I'm going to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to have security, and you got to, you know, I mean, like, you have to do all these things. So, but they need to have that voice of like normal people like in their ear once in a while.
Like Ted Cruz. I wish for bad things to happen to him. Not like that he dies, but I just mean like, I don't want him to be successful because he's a monster. But like when he went on Tucker Carlson and did that groveling apology, had I been in his camp, I'd have been like, boss, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Because the average person sitting at home with their hand in a bag of Cheetos is going to think you're a puss.
Mm-hmm.
Like
when you didn't stand up for your wife or your dad.
That level of thinking, I just feel like that's missing overall.
Yeah.
People just kind of do stuff, you know? You didn't really look at admissions, did you?
No. But I mean,
you're not that far
off. I could go back in time about 15 years, maybe so.
So if you could go back to a junior high kid, what about it attracts you so much?
About cheerleading?
That, as opposed to like being on a girl's sports team or something like that.
Because it's like tumbling and stuff. It's really cool. I mean, it's not just like, go team, go. They're not cheering for a team. This is competitive cheerleading.
Right.
So it's, they're flying, they're stunting, they're tumbling. It's really neat.
It's basically just a mix of dance and gymnastics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I mean, it is intense. And the sad thing about cheer in that sense is, like, they go to college and then they're done. There's really nothing else to do. I mean, I guess
no
you could go try to be an NFL cheerleader.
Well, some
cheerleader,
do it. Some of them do in the NFL,
thing.
But yeah, you're right.
Yeah, they're not doing the stunts and stuff in the NFL. They're just running around in a little outfit.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 3:30, 1 hour from now. Skip Weber's going to be here. Going to do the Sweet 16. So last week, Wheels, were you here?
Yep.
I don't think you were here the day that caller Steve called in.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. So everyone knows I don't like Donald Trump. A lot of people hate me because of that. Okay. Steve called and was incredibly emotional and passionate. And he was just so angry. And his basic point was, I don't care if Trump hurts people's feelings. I don't care if he's mean to people in his life. I don't care if he cheats on his wife. I don't care about any of that. I only care about how things impact me. And we had a little back and forth. But Steve stuck with me. And I thought about this over the weekend, and I wanted to say a couple things just to kind of clarify my position, not to go after Steve. So in my mind, I'm kind of calling this pissy Reagan. Like, I agree with Steve. I just have hit my limit to where it's no longer about someone being a jerk to people. It's about someone, in my humble opinion, just mine, being so incredibly narcissistic and sensitive that they put the country at risk rather than they look bad. I assume that Reagan and Bush and Obama and Biden, all of them, I assume that they are pretty compromised people, that they could have all sorts of things going on in their personal life. I assume that they're pretty crusty to the point of maybe even yelling at people around them and being, you know, very difficult to work with, like a lot of people in radio can be or sports can be. I accept that. I accept that for my CEO. I accept that for my president. I accept all of that. To me, it just has gone into another bucket. It's not a matter of degree, like, yeah, but Trump's really mean to people. That's not what it is. And I just wanted to make that clear for caller Steve and anyone else who wonders. It's not that Trump's mean, because I know a lot of people love him for that. Like, I have a buddy of mine who loves that. He loves when he goes after people. And man, that's like my dad going next door and punching a kid who's been picking on me, his dad in the nose. Loves it. It's not about mean. It's not about rude. It's about putting the country in danger because you so don't want to lose that you make stuff up, and now we're here. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to put that out there because it bothered me, because what Steve said made sense. Hey, I worry about my family. I worry about my 401k. I worry about the economy. I don't worry about how nice the president is to people who he meets. Me either.
Yeah. I also think, though, that as a human being, you should want whoever leads the country to care about all of the people, not just the people that vote for them. That goes for Biden. He shouldn't be kissing, you know, everybody's butt that voted for him and ignoring the people that didn't and calling, you know, just being a jerk to them or whatever. I mean, we should all care about everybody. Like, we should want, and we don't have to do anything about that. You know, you're going to, like he said, we're going to take care of our families. We're going to care about our 401ks and our long-term plans because it's all we can control. But I think that you want the person in that chair, regardless of whether it's an R or a D, to govern everybody. And to at least show that you care about everybody, not just your team. And I know that the people in Congress are just as bad. Like, that's why I'm down on the whole political system. People will be like, you know, what are you apolitical? Like, no, I'm anti-political. I hate politics. And I think the entire way that it's become, I'm going to fight for my team and my team only. And there's no consideration for what happens. What, like, for example, when one party can leverage the other, they'll do it, but they won't like it when it happens back in there. Well, then let's just agree. We're not going to do the thing to the other that we don't want done to us. Somewhere that's written down as a golden rule,
mm-hmm.
Isn't it? Like, that's,
and it rings
it's
a bell.
I mean, it's, you know, somewhere there's a rule about that. I can't remember where or who might have said those things. But like, yeah, we need to get it to the point where that person, especially,
yeah,
because that person represents all of us to the world, needs to be there for all of us and not just their own team. And I don't care which party they're from.
Also, the who would you rather have a beer with thing.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I understand why that has always kind of held sway. I think in the old days, people didn't care unless, like, my mom and dad were staunch Democrats because they were union people.
Right, right.
They were never going to vote for a Republican. But if you're in the middle, I think most people 20, 30, 40 years ago waited till the election, looked at both of the people, figured out who they liked, who they didn't like, and they mm-hmm. voted that way. I've given up on the beer thing because I think that people at that level hide who they really are, and they don't want to have a beer with me anyway.
No, but I do think people look at it that way.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, I think that
but I think and we make that, a mistake by doing that.
Oh, 100%.
Much,
yeah, you know? 100%. Because you're right. Every person that's held that office has been phony to some degree. I don't think you can be there without it. Can you? I can't imagine.
Question.
Yeah, I can't even imagine you even get there if you're just your genuine
really
self
genuine,
all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like you're having a bad day and you're just going to, hey, look, I'm having a bad day. I'm a jerk today.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. You got to pretend. You got to put on a face. I made a stupid decision at one point that I now wish I hadn't. Maybe it's even a policy decision. At one time I thought this was the right thing and now I don't think that anymore. Can't do it.
Yeah.
You got to fake it because if you're inconsistent, oh, look at that. flip-flop.
And how many things do you have to fake that you actually don't have a strong opinion about, but that's your job is to...
Have to really care.
Yeah, like you have to figure out a way to make something work. I mean, that is going to force you into inauthenticity just as a practice. Like, okay, I don't even know about this, but I have to develop a platform around it. Okay.
I kind of look at it like, and I'm because I'm a sports guy, I look at everything in a from a sports perspective. But like if you're, for example, a head coach, you can't just run a team for the guys that are like you. You can't just run the team and say, hey, the guys that, you know, went to the school that I went to get favored, you know, get favorite treatment, or the guys who join me at Bible study every week get favored treatment. You can't do that. Everybody in that on that team, and they're all different. They're all from different backgrounds, different schools, different education levels. I have to coach them all. And I have to want them all to be the best version of themselves. Otherwise, we will fail as a group. And it doesn't always work that way. And by the way, if you ever wonder why some coaches fail, Urban Meyer in Jacksonville, other examples all over the place, that's why. Because you don't manage or coach everybody. You've got your own little group, and other people resent it, and then now you got a fracture, and as soon as something goes wrong, you're out.
Yeah. Rach and Andrew, do you have any sense yet? I know I'm asking you to tell the future. Do you have any sense yet, like when you're our age, what you may look for differently as a generation in leaders based on what you've learned in your first 30 years?
Yeah.
It seems like we're still falling for the same thing.
Oh, that's a great question.
I don't know. I don't really know the answer to that because it feels like... whenever we talk about things like authenticity, like I just said, I don't think you can be authentic and run for president of the United States. Like, I just don't think those things really go hand in hand. So I would like it to be less about the individual and more about the idea. And it just feels like it's way about the individual.
But yeah, I think a lot in our generation are trending towards the individual in that way. You know, we see politicians as celebrities, which should never ever happen, but is happening mostly now. I mean, it's no longer about even like what party you're fighting for in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it's, you know, the Matt Gaetzes and the squads and what have you that are kind of being placed as elevated individuals, right? It's not even like it's the brand has become more important than the ideals.
You know how
in a lot of situations.
You have a rule, say when you're a kid and your parents have a rule, and you think either it's a dumb rule or it's an inconvenient rule for me, I'm going to break it. And you do, and then you get a real education in, oh, that was a pretty good rule. When I was in law school, I remember being very, as a young kid from South Roxana who just faked his way through undergrad, really impressed with the framers in the Constitution, where they were so afraid of the federal government. They really were. You can just tell. And the enumeration clause, hey, look, we're going to tell you these like six things that the federal government can do. Everything else, everything that we don't mention, it's like, okay, Wheeler, you're the boss. Rach, you're the assistant. But here's the deal. You have three things to do. If I don't say those things, Wheeler, you don't do them. They're Rachel's responsibility. You got it? You got it. It's so stark. And 200 some odd years later, here we are, and local means almost nothing. You know, we just saw this with, Eric Schmidt, suing all the school boards. Like, what do you know about the kids who you actually know their faces and names? I'm bigger than you. I get to make this decision. And then someone at the federal level will say to him, like, no, I'm more important. And I just think that we're really learning that this giant octopus of a federal government has just become completely uncontrollable. And they don't know us. They don't know us. They don't understand, because my life is very different from someone in Louisiana, Alabama, or Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And it just seems to me like after a couple hundred years, we're like, oh, that's why the enumeration clause. That's why they were so, in the Federalist Papers, so terrified of the federal government and establishing these rules and separation of church and state and the whole bit, because they didn't want these monsters to develop.
I also don't think that they could have anticipated what it would be like to govern 300 plus million people.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're coming from countries, entire countries from that time, like wherever people emigrated from, we're talking a few million people in those entire countries. I think the British, like England itself, had like 7 or 8 million people in population and that in that time frame. Like, so they couldn't have conceived of anything as large as what is now based on the number of people that it's got to take care of. Well, not take care of, but, you know, work for is probably the better way to put it.
Exponentially less efficient to try to govern all of these hundreds of millions of people who you don't even know who they are.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Just silly. 850 DGS. Look at Andrew's topics. Do I want to talk about how he was a bit at a movie theater? Should Clarence Thomas be impeached over his wife? Or people agree healthy McDonald's will fail?
I want to talk about McDonald's.
All right, let's do that. Okay. If you can work Clarence Thomas in, fine, but don't feel like you have to.
He seems like he probably eats a fair amount of McDonald's.
I love to imagine he's driving through St. Louis right now and just turned on the Mighty Mox. What's going on at one of the most legendary radio stations in the country? And he just hears the producer go, "He eats a lot of McDonald's." Oh, I love to picture like celebrities by chance doing that and then just being like, "Oh," I mean, it's not happening, but it could.
Yeah. So the McDonald's is introducing the McPlant.
Which oh, we're supposed to get a not a McPlant, but the KFC plant thing. We forgot to do that.
Oh, okay.
They're for sale downstairs.
Oh, they have them now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I want to try them.
So the McPlant is just, it's this. I mean, it's the same thing. It's like an Impossible Burger, I think.
It's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name.
And it's like, it's the first name you think of. Okay, boys, I get it.
And they're far from the first far from the first company to do this, which begs the question of, like, you know, why are you just now kind of getting on the train? You know what I mean?
I don't want to eat a plant. I had a salad for lunch today. I don't like thinking of it in terms of eating a plant.
Bowl.
Yeah, right. Like, it just doesn't, that doesn't sound fast food, and it doesn't sound like a treat.
And there's two big problems with it. One of them, as you have said many times, traditionally, healthy meals at McDonald's fail. Simply because people who are looking to eat healthy don't go to McDonald's, and people who are looking to eat McDonald's aren't looking to eat healthy. So, I mean, salads, I don't think they sell salads at McDonald's anymore.
No, they stopped.
They stopped during the pandemic.
Yeah, and it's they've tried things like this before, and it just doesn't work because they just, those Venn diagrams don't overlap. And the other interesting thing
I'm not even kidding around. What you just said is $10 million in CEO pay. For real. If they hired you to do a TED talk at McDonald's.
And they should.
And you walked out and just said, people want healthy food, don't go to McDonald's. And people go to McDonald's, don't want healthy food, and walked off.
Why don't they
pay the man?
Why don't they make a fast food restaurant that's all healthy food?
Research shows you nobody would go there.
It's got to be it, but I agree, Rach.
I would go. I mean, how many times do you want to eat healthy? Like, you just want like a chicken breast and some veggies that actually taste good, but you don't want to cook it, and there's nowhere you can go to just get that quickly.
The kids and I just drove 40 hours back and forth to Florida, and I went through that the entire time. Like, I want to pull off and I want to get something. And it's like the Hardee's where their charbroil was broken. I just like my kingdom for a grilled chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times you just can't find it.
You can't get anything decent, healthy.
Anyway, back to bagging a McDonald's.
Well, and the other thing, the other interesting thing about this McPlant to me is that, so they are acknowledging that it will be cooked on the exact same griller as the meat, which kind of makes no sense because it's going to be soaked in like the meat juice. You know what I mean? Which will probably make it
vegan or vegetarian.
Well, vegan and vegetarian. Well, vegan already can't eat the sandwich unless they modify it in some way because it has mayo and cheese on it, which vegans don't eat. And then it's so it's like it kind of just begs the question, like, who is this even for? Like, who is supposed to be eating this? Because it's not. Ideally, you'd think they're introducing it for like vegetarians or vegans, but they're not going to want to go anywhere near this because it's going to be soaked in meat fat. And
so, what happened to you at the theater? Is it Clarence Thomas related to?
That is also Clarence. Yeah, he's had a big part in my life lately.
He wouldn't stop talking.
No, so I went to a theater in the area.
Oh no, it's Clarence Thomas.
It's Clarence Thomas. I went to a
heard
theater.
You were talking crap.
I went to a theater in the area, in the St. Louis area. Like it was like 10 o'clock at night on Saturday. Wife and I were going to see a movie. We go in, and there's a sign that says, like, if you already have your tickets online, just go to the ticket taker. So I go up to the counter, and I'm like, okay, here's my tickets. And he taps the sign at me, which don't, come on. Like, that's, don't tap a sign at me, okay, man? Not tap a sign at me.
Use your words.
So he taps the sign, and I go,
that's a power move.
And I go, yep.
You should have said, I can't read. Try again.
I want your manager.
Well, I said, yep. And then I tapped my phone. And
that's
then
brilliant.
Then he taps the sign again. And I tap my phone again. And then he kind of like gives me one of these motions back. And at this point, I'm getting enraged is like the best. I'm like the cat that when it was told to
okay,
go to its room.
Can I stop you? What was the sign tapping supposed to imply to you?
Oh, the sign tapping was supposed to imply, I just soon discovered, that he's not the ticket taker. He's the ticket seller, and the ticket taker is the guy behind him.
Okay.
Which I pointed out to him, and I said, there's quite a bit of redundancy here. You better watch out, because he was being rude, and I wanted to make fun of him. So I go back. Now, no words were spoken by him. And then I go back to the ticket taker who is sitting in his chair, and he looks at me and my wife, and I'm like, here's my tickets, I think. And then he gives me a thumbs up and kind of motions over to where the theater is, which I can see. Still no words spoken. So at this point, I say, well, I should have bought the senior tickets for half price because since you're not checking anything. And he just kind of looks at me. Then I go and I'm standing at the popcorn line. No one's saying anything. I look down and there's a guy like three registers down at the popcorn line who's looking at me as if to say like, mine's open, but he's just staring at me. So I'm like, okay, I say loudly and I walk down there.
Why do you feel like you're making things up at this point?
I'm not making any of this up. I can give you the exact location of it and what movie I saw. So I go down there and I say, I want the large popcorn and a large soda. And he just kind of, and I just, at this point, I'm like throwing my debit card at him because I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Your wife doesn't get a drink?
No, we share. We share.
Okay.
It's the
okay.
whole point of being
Two
married.
Two straws, Dave.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's
the whole point of being married.
So I take it. And at this point, I'm starting to have fun because we are also the only people in the entire theater. Like no one, like there's just nobody else there. So then I realized once we got in, there was nobody there. I'm like, oh, this is like a bit. Like they were like, let's see if we could not say any words to these people.
Oh, it's kind of like the cardboard box on the lady's head.
The
Quick
shame
Trip.
Box. Yes, yeah. I felt very shame boxed. I was like, okay, it's just that wherever I go, people keep doing bits on me.
I have been really wondering what I'm going to do with my money, and now I know we're turning that into a movie.
A horror movie about me getting
action thriller
sanity tested.
Thank you, Andrew.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!